If Christ be in you. That's my title for my message this morning. If Christ be in you. If Christ is in you, you're born again. You are made partakers of the divine nature, possessors of a good hope through grace. If Christ is in you, you are God's elect, redeemed, justified, and sanctified, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If Christ is not in you, if the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not in you, you're lost without God, without Christ, and without hope. Unregenerate, dead in trespasses and in sins, under the wrath of God. It is my prayer that before you leave here today, Christ will be in you. Oh, Son of God, come and take up residence in the hearts of your lost ones today. To have Christ in you is to be saved, made whole by God's almighty grace. Our Savior, as He walked on this earth, performed great miracles of mercy, making wounded, weak, sick, dead sinners whole by the touch of His hand, by the word of His mouth, by the sinner coming in contact with Him, Him coming into contact with the sinner. And those wonders of grace performed on this earth physically by our Master were pictures of what He does when He saves lost sinners. He takes poor, lost, sin-sick sinners with the heart plague of corruption, dead in trespasses and in sins, and makes sinners whole by His grace. Twice in the first four verses of Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul told us that God's grace, God's salvation, belongs to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those who walk after the Spirit, all who live by faith in Christ, all who walk in the Spirit are justified. They've been made righteous, the very righteousness of God in Christ, having the righteousness of the law fulfilled in them. They are not now, and they never can be condemned. They are not now, and they never can be brought into judgment. They are altogether free from death and sin and judgment in Christ Jesus. Those who walk after the flesh, those who walk in the flesh are condemned already and shall be forever damned if they persist in their godlessness, rebellion, and unbelief. You who are without Christ, you who are without Christ, you who are without Christ are condemned already. The wrath of God is upon you, and you shall be condemned forever in hell if you persist in your godlessness, your rebellion, and your unbelief. Oh, come to Christ. Oh, come today, the Father, Son, and Spirit say. Come wash your sin and guilt away. Come bow to Christ, the Son of God, and trust His efficacious blood, His precious sin-atoning blood. But what does it mean to live by faith in Christ? What does it mean to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit? Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 10 this morning. And God, the Holy Ghost, here gives us the answer to that question. He shows us the distinction between walking after the flesh and walking after the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, in this passage, The Apostle Paul is not taking up a new subject. He's continuing right on with what he said in chapter 7. He's discussing both the dual nature of every regenerate person, both flesh and spirit in us, the old man Adam and the new man Christ. And he's discussing the distinction between those who are without Christ and those who are in Christ, those in whom Christ is and those who do not have Christ living in them. Look at verse 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And let me show you three things in this portion of Scripture. Number one, this is what our Lord Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And this is what the Apostle Paul, by divine inspiration, is telling us in verses 5, 6, and 7. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. Flesh is never made spiritual. Flesh cannot be spiritual. That which is born of flesh, that is everything about us naturally. Everything we got from our father Adam, everything we got from our mothers and fathers is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, that which we get from God by His grace, that which we get from Christ being put in us, that which we get from the new birth is Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Lost, unregenerate, unsaved people mind earthly things. And our carnal, depraved, fallen nature minds earthly things. They live for and are concerned and anxious about earthly things. They're not taken up with spiritual things, but they're taken up with and consumed with the things of this world, things of the flesh. Hold your hands in Romans 8 and turn back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. After teaching us to pray and warning us to avoid pretense in religious activity, our Lord comes right down to where the rubber hits the road and where we live in verse 24. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Now let me give you a very accurate understanding of those words. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. Don't you wish you could? Stop worrying. Take no thought for your life. What? Don't worry about life. That's what he says. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Here's the reason. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? There's much more to this business of life than whether you eat at the finest steakhouse or you go to the cheapest hamburger joint. There's more to life than whether you buy your clothes at the secondhand shop or go to the Goodwill store and buy them, or you buy them at the finest tailors in town. There's more to life than these things. Stop worrying about such nonsense. Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? If God feeds the birds, worthless sparrows, worthless blackbirds, if God feeds the birds, don't you suppose he'll feed his children? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? You think about it, and you think hard, and you set your mind on it, and you're determined. You can't grow yourself an inch. You can't do it. You can't do it. I continue to shrink in height the older I get, and I can't do anything about it. You can't add one cubit to your stature. So why fret about it? Why worry about it? Why take you thought for raiment, for your clothes? Why are you concerned about what you wear? What difference does it make? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, our Lord is not saying to us, you shouldn't pay any attention to how you dress or how you eat. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, don't let these things occupy your minds. Don't let these things concern you. Don't let these things bother you. God's going to feed you and God's going to clothe you. O ye of little faith, therefore, verse 31, take no thought. Stop worrying, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now what's the reason he gives? Because this is what everybody in the world lives for. That's exactly what he said. After all these things do the heathen seek. After all these things do the Gentiles seek. You drive down the road and happen into a subdivision. I was driving in Nashville one time and got turned around. I was looking for another place and I drove up into a place and I thought, wow, where on earth have I come? I never saw such houses anywhere. And not one or two, scads of them. Man alive, those folks got some money. And you look at that, boy, that's nice. That's nice. And you drive out of there and you drive home and you, boy, this is nice. I don't have to hire anybody to take care of that. I don't have to pay taxes on it. But we envy such stuff. What foolishness. Why should you envy that? That's all they got. That's all they've got. That's what they live for. They live for what they can get. And they can't hold it very long. After all these things do the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He knows you get hungry. He'll feed you. He knows you have to have some clothes to wear. He'll put clothes on your back. But seek ye first. That is, seek this with priority. Seek this with determination. Seek this above all things. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And God will feed you and clothe you and house you. And all these things shall be added unto you. O Spirit of God, teach me. Give me grace to set my heart and my mind upon eternity. To live for eternity, not for time. For heaven, not for the world. For Christ, not for my flesh. This is what the apostle says in Colossians chapter 3. I'll get ahead of myself just a little bit. Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ. We that's what we said in our baptism, isn't it? That's what we profess in the faith of the gospel. We've been risen with Christ. If you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. Not affections, plural. Your affection. Set your heart on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead. You're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Happiness, health, and honor. property, prosperity, and position, fame, fortune, and favor. These are the things for which men and women spend their lives in this world. Shelby and I watched a little bit of the election returns after I finished my work last night, and she looked at somebody, I forgot who it was, and I said, man, he looks tired. Don't you know that's grueling? Don't you know that's just exhausting at what they're doing? And I said, there's nothing any man craves like he craves power. They'll die to get it. They'll die to get it. Most people will sacrifice anything for riches, revelry, and recognition. These are the things the flesh craves, yours and mine too. But what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The believer, that person who is born of the Spirit, that new man created in us by the grace of God, lives for things higher and better. The heaven-born soul is concerned with his relationship, her relationship with Christ. The heaven-born soul is concerned with knowing him who loved us and gave himself for us. The heaven-born soul is concerned with growing in the grace and knowledge of our Redeemer. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. I count all things but dung. I count all things but dung, both my religious things and my material things, both my learning and my position, both my intellect and my abilities, both what I have done and attained and grasped and what I've given, what I can get with my hands, I count it all just dung that I may know Christ, that I may win Christ, that I may be found in Christ. Read on. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The person who's swallowed up with this world is dead. Spiritually dead. And everything for which he lives is marked for destruction. The fashion of this world passeth away. It's all marked for destruction. Rex, I don't know that we'll ever learn what I'm trying to communicate. I don't know that I'll learn it or you will until we leave this world. But everything that's important to us except our Redeemer and our souls and the souls of others, everything except that which is spiritual and eternal is marked for destruction. You know what that means? It's really worthless. It's really not worth the bother. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I was sitting there getting ready to preach and thinking about both Eric and Cody. They're both out of college and went to work just recently. You fellas ought to be, believers ought to have the best work ethic of anybody around. Now, I mean this. We ought to have the best work ethic of anybody around. Get there first and leave last and work hardest while you're there. That's how you ought to be. You're not working for God, for man, you're working for God. You're not working for the bank or for the Lowe's or for this fellow or that. You're working for Christ. So come early, stay late, and work hard. That's how believers ought to live. But don't set your heart on these things. Don't set your heart on these things. To be carnally minded is death. To live for things perishing is to live for death. Nothing else. The fashion of this world passeth away. Someone once said, don't build your house in any of the trees of this forest. They're all marked for burning. The believer, that man, that woman who is born of God, that person who trusts Christ, sets his mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Turn to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Our Lord told us, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, food and clothing, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, they that make it their purpose to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. I hadn't been pastoring here very long. We hadn't even poured concrete downstairs. Back here in my office one day, and a fellow came by I'd gone to school with, gone to high school with him. I hadn't seen him since I graduated from high school. And it was obvious he was doing well. And he came by to chat with me. I don't know how I found out I was here, wanted me to get involved in business with him. And I said, Steve, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. He said, well, aren't you interested? This is a long time ago. Wouldn't you like to make $50,000 more a year? I said, no, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. Why? Why? I've got something more important to do. I've got something more important to do. And he went on, made a lot of money, and died a long time ago. And left everything. And as far as I know, lost his soul. Don't set your heart on this world. Set your heart on the Redeemer. Set your affection on Christ. Turn away from earthly things. Set your mind on heavenly things. I said earlier, Paul has not changed subjects. What I'm talking about here with regard to the world, the distinction between the world and the believer and the unbeliever, applies to both our new nature and our old nature. Children of God, don't set your affection on earthly things. When you find yourself paying too much attention to earthly things, put it away. I'll tell you what it'll do to you. Minding the things of the flesh is deadening. I ask you, is it not so? Minding the things of the flesh is deadening. Doesn't matter what it is. I don't care whether you're talking about sports or politics or war or riches or bank accounts or retirement or health. Minding the things of the flesh is deadening to your soul. I find myself getting involved in stuff, just in discussion. All of a sudden, my mind is just filled with it. Just filled with it. I'm not talking about filthy things, though that's certainly true. I'm talking about just anything, anything of the flesh, of nature, of this world. Minding the things of the Spirit is enlivening. Do you not find it so? Do you not find it good for your soul to think on Christ and to talk about Christ and talk about the grace of God, think about the grace of God, talk about the providence of God, think about the providence of God? Don't you find that uplifting to your soul, enlivening to your soul? And everything else deadens you. Makes you hard, callous, and cold toward God. The disciples one time got to thinking about all they had sacrificed and all they had given up. They gave up their nets and gave up their fishing boats and gave up their jobs and gave up their careers. And Peter said, we've forsaken all and followed you. What are we going to have for that? And the Lord Jesus turned and looked at him. He said, lacked ye anything? Lacked ye anything? Look at verse 7. Here's the reason for all this. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The natural man, that which is born of the flesh, the old Adamic nature that's still in God's saints, and the fallen, depraved nature of all human race, hates God and always reasons against God. But we're the children of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? Lost carnal men and women, and that old man that's in us, don't hate their idols, their gods, but they hate the living God and love the world. The same's true of our old Adamic nature as is true of the man who lives for nothing but the lust of his flesh. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. I want you to look at this. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. Are you there? 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't set your heart on the people of this world, and don't set your heart on the things in this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. All right, back in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 7. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind will not be subject to and will not submit to the will of God, the way of God, the providence of God, or the word of God. It will only attempt to use those things for advantage. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. One of the old writers said, how can snow be made warm? Only by making it cease to be snow. The natural mind, the carnal mind, cannot be mended. It must be destroyed. Now, let's look at the next passage, verses 8 and 9. Here's the second thing. First thing, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Second, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And those who are in the spirit cannot but please God. Now be sure you get it. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And those who are in the Spirit cannot but please God. Look at verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Outside Christ, you can't think or say or do anything pleasing to God. Without Christ, you cannot think or say or do anything acceptable to God. We are accepted in the Beloved because of His righteousness, because of His obedience, because of His death. We are accepted in the Beloved. And what we offer to God with our polluted hands, God washes in the blood of His Son and robes in the righteousness of His Son and accepts us only in His Son and because of His Son. We have no other acceptance. Without faith in Christ. People everywhere today talk about having faith. He's a man of faith. She's a woman of faith. They have great faith. Faith is faith in Christ. It's not blind superstition. And without faith in Christ, it's impossible to please God. Look at verse 9, Romans chapter 8. But you who are born of God, you who are taught of God, you who have Christ in you, you're not in the flesh. What? You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You're not in the flesh. That doesn't mean that we're no longer human. It doesn't mean that we don't have fleshly passions, appetites, lusts, and desires, or that our old nature when we're born again is eradicated. Everything we have experienced says otherwise. And Romans chapter 7 says otherwise. I'll talk more about this tonight. In recent weeks, I've had calls from several pastor friends who've asked me about the same passage of Scripture. And Romans chapter 6, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law but under grace. And all who called him said to me, I know that the believer no longer lives in sin like he used to. In the tenor of his life, he doesn't live under the dominion of sin. And I said to each of them, now wait a minute. I've said that, but that's a lie. Merle Hart, in the tenor of your life, you're just as evil as you ever were. You just don't act it out as bad. Now you know that's so, and I know it's so. We've learned to behave outwardly a whole lot better. It's much to our advantage to do so. But that's not what I'm talking about. The believer still has the same lust he always had, the same corrupt nature he always had. That's going to be so until you go to the grave. The old man is never improved, but only gets worse as age goes on. Well, what's this talking about then? Paul is telling us here that we have a new nature, being indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, who is our life. To be in the Spirit is to be ruled over, influenced, and governed by the Spirit of Christ, our Lord, so that we bring everything to Him. And we hate our father and mother and brother and sister and our own life also, and willingly, deliberately take up our cross and follow our Redeemer. Walk in the path of deliberate cost for the glory of God. This is what it is to live in Christ. All who are in Christ have Christ living in them. Christ is begotten in us in the new birth. And being in Christ, we're justified, sanctified, holy, righteous, perfect, accepted in Him. And we are one with Him. This is what Paul's talking about when he says that God's people walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Ours is a life in the Spirit, a life of faith. living with an abiding understanding, an abiding sense, an abiding confidence of complete, perfect justification in Him. Having no confidence in the flesh. We mingle no Pharisaic personal righteousness with His righteousness. Christ alone is our wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Ye are complete in Him is the language of Scripture. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free and continually makes us free from the law of sin and death, so that for all who believe, Christ is our righteousness, our holiness. He is the end of the law for us. He's the fulfillment of the law, and He is our law. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, if you're made partakers of the divine nature, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If Christ isn't in you, you're not his. If the Spirit of Christ isn't in you, you're not his. If God's not giving you this new nature, you're not his. This new nature that looks to Christ for everything. You're not yet born of God. All right, here's the third thing. Look at verse 10. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Secondly, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are in the Spirit cannot but please God. So that in Ecclesiastes, the wise man says, rejoice with your wife and sing and be merry, for God now accepteth thy works. He accepts our entire being in Christ our Lord. Now here's the third thing. If Christ is in you, God put Him in you. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and I'll wrap this up. If Christ is in you, God put Him in you by His grace. If Christ is in you, it's because He stepped into you and took up residence in you by His almighty grace. When Adam was created in the garden, you'll remember, he was created in the image and likeness of God. And God breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. And then Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, and he died spiritually. He died spiritually. But he is still body and soul. He's still body and soul. So that he has both a physical life and a immortal soul. But he's dead spiritually. In the new birth, God breathes again into man's nostrils, and he becomes again a living soul, and now is body, soul, and spirit. Oh, the body of flesh and all that pertains to it is subject to death and sin, but the spirit that's in us is life. Being vitally united to Christ, we have no stain, no sin, and we cannot die. Eternal life is ours because of His righteousness, because Christ is ours. Now look here in 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul is wrapping up his letter to the Thessalonians in verse 16. He says, rejoice evermore. Why not, if Christ be in you? Oh, God, teach me that. Teach me not to murmur, not to complain, not to gripe, not to grumble. Rejoice evermore. Christ is in me. Pray without ceasing. What's that talking about? Worship God all the time. Worship God all the time. In everything, give thanks. For whatever it is you experience, whatever it is you go through, whatever it is you have, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Don't mind earthly things, but spiritual things. Despise not prophecy. Despise not the preaching of the word. Prove all things. You hear the word preach, prove it. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. You hear the gospel. You hear a man preach the word. Hold fast that which is good. You hear a man preach something contrary to the word of God. If it even smells like works, run from it. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now watch verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. This is the only time in the word of God all three parts of a man's being, a heaven-born man, a heaven-born woman, are mentioned together. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's a foolish prayer. Not hardly. Read the next line. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I try to pray with confidence because of what God has said in his word. And this I pray for you with confidence, because faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen.